This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Libertarian candidate Aaron Sine, a candidate for Virginia Senate, is my guest, and also the proud daddy of some little ones, so Dora plays in his house as well. Aaron, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for
having
me.
Always look forward to having you stop by. Where should we start? Why don't we start with sort of recapping the General Assembly election from your point of view, as our connection to the libertarian world here.
Sure.
Things that you were happy with, perhaps, and some things that you weren't so happy with.
Well, I think it was a very mixed session on a lot of fronts. I was pleased to see that the session ended in a reasonable amount of time without tax increases happening. That was a good thing. On the negative side of that same issue, they increased a lot of debt. So there wasn't a whole lot of talk of reducing spending or maybe setting better priorities to properly fund transportation. It was just a matter of, are we going to tax or are we going to go into debt, which unfortunately is a pretty typical debate between Democrats and Republicans.
And while there was no statewide tax increases, they certainly opened the door to more taxes in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads. And they even said, why don't you raise these taxes?
One more good reason to live in the Charlottesville area and not in Northern Virginia or Hampton. So,
absolutely. How about some things that, anything else, your reflections about the General Assembly session?
Well, I think we also had a very mixed session results on eminent domain as well. On the positive side, Virginia finally did pass some good law reforming eminent domain and clamping down on eminent domain abuse in Virginia. On the bad side, we only passed a bill and not the matching constitutional amendment failed. So what that means, and there's already some rumors of people talking about doing this, that next session they'll probably start to try and put the same loopholes back into the law when nobody's looking. So
we really
needed a constitutional amendment.
And why didn't we get one, you think?
Politics, I suppose, is the answer. I mean, it's a it's a surprising issue to me that we don't get that, because it's something that 95% of the population agrees eminent domain abuse is wrong. But you also have some pretty powerful lobbies in Richmond that want to maintain that power. So,
and that power to be able to do what exactly?
Well, the power to let your local government take your home for any purpose that they want, rather than saying that it's okay to do it for, say, roads or schools, but it's not okay to take your home and replace it with a shopping center or a factory or something like that that would increase tax revenue.
Aaron Sine is my guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Aaron, there is in the district where you're running, the 24th Senate District, Emmett Hanger, of course, has been in that seat for quite some time. And give us an idea first where this district is. It's almost directly west of Charlottesville, but it includes parts of Albemarle County. Is that right?
That's right. It includes western Albemarle, basically Crozet, Whitehall, Free Union area, all of Greene County to the north of here. Also includes all of Augusta County, cities of Stanton, Waynesboro, Highland County, all the way out to West Virginia, part of Rockbridge County, city of Lexington, and part of Rockingham County, just up to the border of the city of Harrisonburg.
That's huge.
It is. It's very large, but it's a beautiful district and a great place to drive around.
And very rural. I mean, it's
pretty
really
wide range. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So a lot of issues that folks are facing, that you do face in these rural areas in terms of development and jobs and...
Absolutely. There's a lot of that going on in the valley for sure. Just like we have those issues here in Albemarle and Greene of balancing, development and concerns. There's been concerns of eminent domain use over there. There's been a lot of shared concerns across the district with property taxes as well and rising assessments. So we see those sorts of things all over the district, even though it is a very large district.
Aaron Sine is my guest. Phone lines are open, 977-1070. Aaron, give us a snapshot of what's happening right now in this race, because Emmett Hanger, who's been in that seat for a long time, is actually facing a primary challenger. Scott Sayer is running to Emmett's right, and we were talking about that yesterday on this program. We're seeing that across Virginia. A lot of these moderate Republicans that have been in office for a while are facing very conservative primary challenges from members of their own party.
Well, we're seeing it more than usual. I wouldn't say we're seeing it all over Virginia. I mean, you've got 40 senators, and there's only half a dozen that are going to actually face primary challenges. The rest of them will probably have a pretty safe ride to reelection if they want it. So we really don't have much competition in Virginia politics. Very few seats go challenged, and even fewer seats go challenged within their own primary, within their own party in a primary. So we have very little debate. So I'm glad to see that there is some debate about some of the members of the Senate who have voted for tax increases in the past.
And you would include Emmett Hanger among those?
Well, absolutely. That's certainly one of the reasons that I'm in this race is to bring some attention to some of those issues and talk about that issue, from a perspective that a lot of people don't hear it.
And, of course, Scott Sayer and Emmett Hanger will face off in a June 12th primary, which is that's the date across the Commonwealth for
these
primary challenges.
That's right. All the party primaries will be then, the few that there are.
Aaron Syme is my guest, Libertarian candidate for Virginia Senate. The phone number is 977-1070. Let's go to the phones. Pete is on the line with a question about taxes. Pete, thanks for the call. You're on with Aaron. Go right ahead. Pete, you with us? Let's go to Mike on line two. Mike, you're on with Aaron. Go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a quick question regarding energy, specifically out in Highland County. There is a debate and battle between folks that want to maintain the beauty of and the scenery, which draws a lot of tourism, and folks that want to emplace 300 to 400 foot wind turbines to create energy. What is your thought on those? Do we need those? And do you support destroying the skyline of the beautiful Blue Ridge and Allegheny Highlands with these monstrosities? Or what can you tell me about what you know about it?
Sure. Well, thanks for the question, Mike. Appreciate it. And I've definitely talked to a lot of people in Highland County about that. And the mountains out there are gorgeous. It is definitely one of the most beautiful parts of Virginia, and I certainly don't want to see that change. One of my concerns with that project and talking to residents in the area is that it's my understanding, and I think this needs to be confirmed, but from what I've been told by residents in the area, that there's a lot of tax incentives that are going into that project that are making it economically viable in an area that perhaps it wouldn't be viable otherwise on its own merits. And now, I personally like alternative energy. I drive a little hybrid car for what that's worth.
Good for you.
to the atmosphere. But I think that we also need to let things stand on their own economic grounds. And I'm not a fan of corporate welfare of any kind. And if we're going to be throwing federal tax dollars in order to make a wind project work in an area where it's very clear that I think the majority of the residents do not want it, and perhaps it would not exist there without those tax incentives, then I'm not a fan of that. I don't like to see corporate welfare of any kind, as I said.
Well, what tax incentives do you know of? Would that accrue to the local economy or just to the landowner upon which these turbines are built?
Well, like I said, I want to be careful in talking too specifics of that because these are based on conversations I've had with residents of Highland County at their Maple Festival about a month ago.
Yeah.
And I think these things need to be confirmed as part of the debate. But it's my understanding that they're federal tax incentives. Now, the other also from a fiscal standpoint, one of the other things that residents there were telling me about was that this would put a lot of extra burden on their local power grid there, and that those costs would probably have to be absorbed by local taxpayers. And so, again, you're putting a burden on local taxpayers to essentially make it feasible for a business to exist. And while I consider myself very pro-business, I'm not a fan of welfare for businesses of any kind.
Mike, thank you so much for the call. Aaron, is there any place for government to sort of help business, help local business, to sort of step in and provide incentives? I'm trying to get clear on where libertarians stand or where you stand.
Sure.
As a libertarian is the best way to put it. Isn't there an appropriate place for government to help businesses for the betterment of the public?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's a very you have to be very careful how you do it. Unfortunately, the mode of operation that most states follow seems to be trying to throw as much tax money or just outright cash at businesses to get them to relocate to their state. Now, the studies that I've read show that those things usually do not pay off, that the estimates of increased tax revenue to the area or jobs usually are inaccurate, and that they are very rarely profitable for that locality to do that.
Or in the case of Martinsville and In the end, it might even cost you money in the end.
There's a lot of examples of that, absolutely. Reason magazine just had a great article on this a month or two ago where they were talking about southern states, how often they've done this and how very rarely it's actually worked out for them. One of the more interesting examples was an auto plant on the border of two states, and they said it would bring all these jobs to one state, but instead they put the plant right on the border. They took the tax incentives from one state, and then they took the unemployed auto workers from the bordering state who just came across the border and worked there. So, you know, these things are convoluted, and the role for government to do in encouraging business is to get out of the way, lower regulations, not throw out welfare. So I'm a small business owner. I spend a lot of time every month, even though I have a very small business in terms of number of employees, I spend a lot of time every month just doing taxes and dealing with taxes and or paying my accountant to deal with taxes when it's over my head.
Which leads me to my next question. We had a caller just called and asked about your response to the fair tax. And we are up against the clock, but I do want to give you some time here. And I know that you recently have released your tax platform. So just generally speaking of taxes and respond to the caller regarding the fair tax.
Sure. Well, the fair tax, I think, is a very interesting debate, and I'm glad to see us debating something that would involve getting rid of the IRS at the federal level. That's certainly something I'm in favor of. I think we need to be very careful about inviting new taxes to replace that and of course, the possible concerns of ending up with both taxes. What I would rather see, and this is part of the tax platform that we just released for my campaign, which your listeners can learn more about at aaronsime.com. I have a video announcement there, and they can also download the whole platform. There's a number of provisions in that platform. A couple I'll hit on real quickly. Sunset provisions on taxes. So why don't we make automatic expiration dates on new taxes when we pass them so that instead of having like the BPOL tax that was passed to finance the War of 1812 and still exists today, why don't we, when we pass a tax, put an automatic expiration date on it so that our General Assembly, they can keep that tax if they want to in 10 years or whatever, but they've got to at least continually justify its continued existence. So if you pass a tax to fund land conservation, say, then when that time period is over, you need to justify, do we still need it, instead of just automatically applying that tax to some other government program.
It sounds so incredibly Jeffersonian, doesn't it? Where government should stop and think about what it's doing instead of just, well, we did it this way last year, and, well, we're now dependent upon that tax.
Once you put it in there, the inertia is for the tax to stay there forever, and that's what the vast majority of them do. So I think a sunset provision on all new taxes would be a very important thing, are all renewed taxes. Of course, I'd like to not see new taxes, and I'd also like to see, you know, at our local level, we mentioned earlier, property assessments and driving rising local taxes. There are changes we can make to the Virginia Constitution that will make the local tax burden better, too.
Aaron Syme is a Libertarian candidate for Virginia Senate in District 24. You can learn more online at aaronsyme.com, and that's aarinsime.com. Aaron, thank you so much.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.